Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio, out of broadcasting today from Lafayette, California, on BBS Radio 1 in the San Francisco Bay Area. I am so happy you're all here, and I have some fantastic guests today. My first guest, starting in a few minutes, is Judy Mikovits. She's a fantastic scientist who's written a fantastic book called The Plague of Corruption, along with a foreword from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I know you're going to really enjoy listening to her interview in a few minutes. That will be followed by Del Bigtree, a famous film producer who produced a wonderful movie called Vaxxed. And anyway, I've got some fantastic news to share with you all before we go to the show. I just found out a couple days ago that thanks to American Airlines and the assistance of President Trump, American Airlines is donating an entire aircraft. I'm not kidding. They're donating an entire aircraft through their American Ambassadors program to shipload as much food, cargo, food supplies to the Hopi down in Arizona. I'm frankly overwhelmed, to be honest. It's a fantastic contribution, and I especially want to thank President Trump and American Airlines for this charitable act. The Hopi Indians, as you know, have been starving recently for lack of foods. They've been having a hard time getting food supplies into the reservation because of the virus. Also, they've been drinking radiation and arsenic contaminated water for decades. Their longevity rates are awful. Men on the Hopi reservation live maybe to 44 years. Women live maybe, if they're lucky, to their mid-50s. This is compared to an average longevity of at least twice that outside the rest of the United States. And so I've been fundraising for food and medical food and clean water supplies for the Hopi. I've been working with many people on this, especially Leon McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation of Washington, a nonprofit organization, where he talked to a manufacturer and they're now producing water filters for the Hopi, which take out all the radiation and all the arsenic out of their water supplies. And it's just $125. So I've been fundraising. So far, we've raised somewhere around $33,000, $35,000since the last 2 years since we started this effort. And I'm just so happy. Also, people have been contributing a lot with both food, blankets, supplies for the Hopi. And we've probably raised around $4,000 or $5,000. All the money, 100% of the money goes right to the Hopi for food. $600-$700 will cover a couple hundred families for a week. And I also want to thank Martha Childress from the Natural Choice Network, who's been helping to coordinate this. She takes the food up to the Hopi Reservation and they pick it up. The reservation has been closed down, but we're getting supplies there. And I want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for their fantastic contribution. President Kennedy has told me that this is the kind of cooperation we need to have in order to make this world a better place, to overlook our political differences, to overlook our social and economic differences, and help each other make this world a better place. And I think about what American Airlines and President Trump has done, and I get choked up, frankly. Before we go to Judy in just a minute, I want to tell you all that Out of This World is a nonprofit listener-supported radio show, and if you'd like to contribute, it's just $5 a month. Go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net, and there's little PayPal buttons where you can make a contribution. I'm now broadcasting as well on WWNN on four different stations in Miami, Florida, on Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as in Vienna, Austria, of all places, a beautiful place, on the first and second and third Mondays now, and then broadcasting there for 2 hours every Monday night from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Radio Soul International. And to my knowledge, it's the first metaphysical and spiritual radio show in Central Europe. We cover most of Austria, Eastern Switzerland around Zurich, and then of course down into Frankfurt and Munich in Southern Germany. I speak some German. And I have a feeling I'm going to need to get much better on my German. So anyway, I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to angels and the other side. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also give readings and I enjoy doing it. If you've lost a relative recently, or a pet and you'd like to talk to them, please send me an email. I'm happy to help you out. I've also written a book called Messages from the Masters. Here it is. I published it a couple of years ago. It's got messages from Albert Einstein, John F. Kennedy, and Nostradamus on our beautiful, bright future. And we really do have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us, my friends. If you'd like a copy, it's just $20 and includes a free reading from yours truly. I had a little delay from the publisher, but the books are being sent out. I think I sent out 150 a couple days ago. And so if you're interested, please contact me. Finally, I also have what's called these beautiful love tuning forks. They come with a crystal from Mount Shasta in Lemuria here. And when you hit it, you send love everywhere. It's an incredible experience. The planet itself is shifting into the higher vibrations right now. So when I hit this, everyone listening to it gets a dose of love. So isn't it nice to wake up in the morning and get a dose of love? So anyway, you're getting a dose of love depending on where you are. In the United States, you're getting a dose of love in the morning. In Europe, you're getting a dose of love in the evening. And in Japan, you're probably in the middle of the night and you're sleeping, but you're still getting a dose of love if you listen to this. So anyway, they're just $60 within the United States for $70 overseas shipping. So, and finally, how funny. I lost my script, so I'll just have to wing the rest. So anyway, with that, I'd like to bring, I think that's a signal from my guides to bring Judy on and to stop talking. So anyway, Judy, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Ted. That's lovely. I heard that dose of love as well. So
oh, good. Yeah, it's great to have it. I want to tell everyone, by the way, I'm broadcasting from Mount Shasta today. And I'm a little punchy and a little giddy because Mount Shasta is shifting into the fourth and then fifth dimensions. And then when I'm up in the mountain, you feel this wonderful high vibration everywhere. This morning we were visited by a Sasquatch at 4 o'clock in the morning who was hungry, and it was a little too early. I was going to make coffee and get some toast for him, but he took off before I could get it ready. But he was there, and he was heavy breathing. You could see the footprints all over the campsite. I'll post it up on the website later this week. Tonight, we are supposed to have a visit from Admiral Halosaurus. He's the Pleiadian Admiral in charge of the 2 million Pleiadian spacecraft circling the Earth, helping us with our ascension. And he's going to join us probably for a late dinner, he said. So that should be fun. So anyway, Judy. Well, Judy, you're an amazing person. You know, you've been working in this for many years. You've written a fantastic book called The Plague of Corruption. You've endured many attacks and hardships in the past to get your message out, but you're a courageous individual and you believe in speaking the truth. And that's one thing I like about you, Judy, is that you're not afraid of telling the truth. And tell us a little bit about your work and how you got started in what you do today.
I'm a biochemist and a molecular biologist by training and trade, but I got started in that as a child, looking at cancer. You know, my grandfather got cancer when I was about 11 or 12 years old. And I thought that we could use God's plants and the energies from God's plants and therapies, nutritional therapies. So I went on to study, you know, for, you know, dozens of years and have practiced that for 40 years, thinking about how to heal people. And so that healing journey, of course, took me into the plague of disease that we're really experiencing because our world and our environment is so toxic, really, at every level. Let me know if that hammering in the background bothers you and I'll shut the door.
I think the angels have taken it out. I don't hear a thing, Judy.
Oh, fabulous. I'm in a construction site. So at any rate, over the last 40 years, I've been developing natural product therapies that includes things like cannabis, interferons, immune therapies, and all of those, or many of those, in traditional medicine, let's just say at the National Cancer Institute, where I started as an entry-level technician purifying biological response modifiers from humans, from animals, and learning how to use them therapeutically and preventative, you know, hopefully as God intended, as is in with your nature and your natural surroundings. So we, unfortunately, our work is how viruses, I say unfortunately, because that's what led to all the controversy in the last 10 years, was so our work is always isolating viruses and understanding from the immune system, the endocannabinoid system, the purinergic system, all of our communication systems between cells at the molecular level, trying to understand how this infection, or as my new friend, Dr. Robert O. Young, says, outfection, because it comes from within. So in some cases, the balance is messed up such that infections that have been silenced over millennia that don't harm the animal because of the mechanisms to silence them, they're simply not expressed. And when they're not expressed, they're less likely to cause injury. I won't say not causing injury. So we isolated a new family of viruses that came from mice that were most closely related to mice. And we know now we're working with COVID-19, which is meaning coronavirus disease. COV means COVI is the coronavirus, and the disease is supposedly from that virus. But what we know is really that virus can't possibly cause disease, because most of the people with it, I mean, can't possibly be a causative agent for disease, because 98% of the people who are infected or have evidence of infection, nobody's actually shown them to be infected, because we're only doing tests that you know, really aren't relevant, just so pieces and parts, and these are families of viruses. So you don't cause disease unless everyone with the infection gets the disease, and most of the people don't. And we know that's true with most of the viruses. I worked with HIV, HTLV-1, a leukemia-causing virus. That's what HT, human T-cell leukemia-causing virus, which was the first isolated disease-causing human retrovirus. That's my mentor of 37 years, Dr. Frank Rossetti, and his colleague Bernie Poise did that in 1979 while I was still in college. So I stepped right into the forefront of a new field of research and started understanding at the molecular and biochemical level how these infections result in disease in susceptible populations. We isolated a new family from mice in 2009, showed it associated with autism and what we call neuroimmune diseases, so myalgic encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome, which is brain fog and an inability to function and think and use your muscles. That means inflammation of the brain and the spinal cord, and that inflammation, that flame, changes the expression of genes in a really bad way. So that work, when it turned out that in fact, how could mouse viruses get into humans at the level we saw, where 20 million Americans were infected with mouse viruses? It was pretty clear that came from a contaminated blood supply and contaminated vaccines, where we're injecting animal tissues directly into the blood. And so we don't understand, when you inject animal tissues directly into the blood, what other things are in that, what viruses that are dormant in the animal. And you don't need an infectious virus particle if you just have the blueprint of the virus, the genetics, the energetics. We're putting the nucleic acids, the proteins, the DNA, the blueprints, and pieces and parts, and those are changing the expression of our genes. That's epigenetics. It's not the blueprint. It's the expression of the blueprint that has been dysregulated. And that's the big problem. And so the big problem with the governments was, oh my God, this revelation, this truth that was clear from the data is really too big for us as a country, as a world, to handle, because the cost to society to admit we were wrong, which, you know, we we, the royal, we, what I've done this kind of work in cell lines from the beginning with making type 1 interferons, from purifying those, as I mentioned, since 1980. And it was always with the good intent to heal and to use these in a natural way as God intended. But at the end of the day, I didn't realize those, that information could be spun into something that could be used by pure evil to hurt people. And that's the journey. That's why we wrote our book. So I didn't have a copy. My husband got away with the book, but I thought for your Austrian audience and in honor of Bobby Kennedy, so you speak enough German to know.
Yeah, vielen Dank, vielen Dank, yeah.
That this is the plague of corruption in German.
So, why don't you come on my Austrian show next month, and you can, or whenever it's convenient, and you can talk about that, because I have
I
a lot of
I would love to. So
okay, good, great.
Here, my friend Regina in Germany, near Frankfurt, okay. Translated this for us literally from the day I had it in January in her hand. So she suffers from the diseases, but she can translate because she can think. So it's great that right today, Bobby Kennedy Jr., you know, you couldn't get him on this show because he's actually in Berlin, as his uncle was many years ago, probably more than 50 years ago now, or close to that, literally talking about. And so the doctors there were leading peaceful protests, if you will, with tens of thousands of people to end the plague of corruption worldwide. He's announcing the start of Children's Health Defense Europe. So now Children's Health Defense that we enjoy as Americans can be spread worldwide, and we can spread the truth and the love.
I didn't realize this, but on this channel alone, we have over 100,000 viewers on Facebook. Plus, in 30% of my audience now comes from German-speaking countries like Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. So there's a huge audience, and people are hungry for information, Judy. So,
anyway. we have Die Pest der Corruption right here with Bobby Kennedy's wonderful foreword in German. It's available right now in Europe, in Germany. It's been that way for a couple of weeks now, so we're announcing it here live today.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, my own book, Messages from the Masters, that's been translated into German. And it was going to be published this month, but then the virus delayed it. It'll come out later this year. So
well, fabulous. I'd love to get a copy. We'll trade. I'll autograph. I'll go back for it.
Great. I'll send it to you. I wanted to tell you, there's so many ways we could go on this, but one of the things that I think maybe you talked about it back when I had you on my Seattle show back in May, was that they were using fetal tissues for these vaccines.
Correct.
And the problem is that if, for example, they take a fetal tissue out of a girl baby, for example.
Right.
And they put it in the vaccine, they inject it into a boy, that can change the DNA and the RNA so that, forgive me if I don't get this right.
Okay.
So they change the DNA and the RNA of the male so that when he gets older, he thinks he's a female. And likewise with a female baby that gets the RNA DNA of a fetal tissue from a boy, and then she thinks she's a man later. And one of the things I talked with Del Bigtree yesterday or on my pre-record that we'll play a little later, this mixing of the sexes maybe is an attempt to make everyone Baphomet, which is the Luciferian god, which is half female and half male. I don't know. I don't study that myself, but that's one thing that was my suspicion. So why would they be mixing these sexes? So they screw us all up and make things, is it for population control? Is it to eliminate us as a species? Talk about insanity. I don't understand it, Judy.
Yeah. And as I mentioned a minute ago, I don't think it was the intent. So the intent was for good, and what your audience won't recognize is the vaccine. So what happens is you have to grow a virus in a cell, because a virus outside of a cell is not alive.
Right.
And so you use the cell machinery from the animal or the host. It can even be a flea or a mosquito or even a plant. Plants have retroviruses, and they change the regulation of genes, as we're talking about, the expression. And so the most important thing for your immune system to do when you're born is to determine self from non-self. And so what we realized and why they came after me and this work with such ferocity was we didn't appreciate, you know, most people only think of a vaccine as, oh, you're getting influenza. They put a dead piece of influenza into a needle and inject it. They don't realize that you can't grow up, you know, influenza blueprints, RNA viruses, without having cells. So the cells they grow it in can't clean away from the vaccine antigen. And so that becomes the immune system response. So what happens now and what changed, you think, well, we had polio vaccines and we have other vaccines and we don't have issues with males thinking they're females and others. But what happens now is we're injecting that tissue in utero, and most important, on the first day of life. And they only don't get one or the other, they get both. So that there's several cell lines and they're in all the vaccines and it's a really big mix. What you don't do correctly in the very beginning, the most important thing for your immune system is what is self and what is non-self.
Right.
So you don't know from day one, because we're injecting so young before the fetus grows into understanding that.
This is an analogy. I wanted to run it by you. You know, when nuclear energy, nuclear power first came on the scene, they thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they perpetuated it and promoted it. But it got to the point where we could kill the entire planet with those bombs easily, very easily. And now there's been a big push for decades now to pull back on nuclear weapons, to make it illegal. And my friends off planet, the Galactic Alliance, tell me that nuclear energy and nuclear power is totally illegal on all advanced human civilizations outside of planet Earth, because it's just too dangerous.
Right.
As an analogy, perhaps vaccines, it's a good idea, started with good intentions.
Correct.
But because we don't understand the science very well as we should, and because there have been all these problems with the vaccines, perhaps it's a little bit like nuclear power, nuclear energy, where people can suffer real harm from these things. And the science is too new. It needs to be developed further before you mandate it on a mass scale.
Correct. And so that's exactly what happened from the 80s through the 90s, from HIV through everything we know, is we've accelerated the evolution and the ability of these viruses to infect cells and people that God doesn't intend, and at most critical times of their development. And so we thought it was a good thing. It was good intentions. Right. But in 2011, when it became clear that the cost, that the damage was literally, now we can see it, making, you know, humans that are transhuman. They can't communicate, they're sterile, they do have features, half man, half woman, and don't understand. We've got men with gynecomastia, growing breasts. We've got women with little girls with mustaches who never develop, you know, we have lots of ovarian failure and lots of increase in cancer. And this was the big realization. Oh my God, we can't do this. So instead of doing the right thing, they just decided to kill the messengers. Right. And most of the messengers in science either went along with it and took the buyouts and decided to look the other way and stay blind and not realize the data, or some were killed, like Dr. Jeff Bradstreet. That's a chapter in our book. Dr. Timothy Cunningham. And Bobby's foreword goes so well. And the movie Plandemic, which premiered last week. That's plandemicseries.com. That was the second half. The first half came out right a while when we talked back in May, May 4th. And that brought down another firestorm of critics on me. And what Mickey Willis, the producer, the filmmaker at Elevate Films, lovely, lovely guy. Hope you can get him on your show. He'll appreciate everything you do. And so you can see that movie at plandemicseries.com, and you can also see an interview that Mickey Willis did with Brian Rose. So Brian Rose at londonreel.tv, he premiered they premiered Plandemic 2, which is called Plandemic Indoctrination, not Indoctrination.
this is great.
And it's just brilliant. And then you learn from Mickey in the next interview. And I didn't know most of this, just like when Bobby Kennedy came in. It's a real God thing of how we've all met. When he came in and wrote the foreword, when we talked a little while and he said, Judy, there's something missing. And that delayed the production of this book until April instead of last November. So what Plandemic, and the reason why in the first movie I called it a Plandemic, is because you can see that the government knew that the people were getting the truth. And the government knew that, you know, maybe Judy or Kent Heckenlively, that we'd all, Del Bigtree, you know, Andy Wakefield, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, all the, you know, Dr. Rashid Buttar, who we've taught, you know, everybody, Dr. Bruce Lipton, all the way, Dr. Candace Pert with Peptide D. We started seeing the evolution. And when you look down over the whole 40 or 50 years, it's, oh my God, they planned it. They knew all along, they knew. And that's the hard thing for scientists and people like me to realize. You know, how could, just like you were reduced to tears thinking about President Trump and American Airlines, you know, giving the Hopi Indians the relief out of the kindness of their heart. What I couldn't appreciate, it reduces me to tears when I just think about how could you know? And I would say, at least by 1999, 2019, you know, we didn't know as much in 91, but by 99 and 2000, when they started creating the SARS viruses, they were doing this for pure evil. They knew then. We didn't know. Andy didn't know. And they knew then, and they took what God and good people meant for good, and they turned it to evil, and it cost millions of lives. Right. And it's just so hard to comprehend. All you had to do was stop that practice. Right. We can make a safe vaccine, but what did they do? They accelerated it. So by the time, you know, 2011, we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. So they arrested me, jailed me, you know, did all the things they did to me. Same thing with Dr. Robert O. Young. He showed along the same time, alkaline water, clean water, you know, signaling clean air, and the body system working energetically, just not to mess up the simplest of energetics. And I'm learning from him every day. I'm delighted. Just an amazing, another hero who was also jailed. And so when you start realizing, and that's what Mickey did in this second film was he, and it was a surprise to me. I was sitting in the home with Mickey, and I saw it at the same time everybody else around the world saw it. And I was just thankful to God that I was only in it for a few minutes, because I sit and watch with my hands over my eyes as that first one really hurt a lot of relationships, not because it wasn't true. As some people said, I said to other scientists, you know, was it wrong? Sure. And was I wrong? And they said, no, I just wish you hadn't said it.
Well, you know, and I have to choose my words carefully when I say this. You know, you look at, I'm not saying that what their actions were the actions of Nazis, and I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
But you look at World War II and some of the atrocities that went on there during World War II, you don't understand how humans could do that to one another. You just, right. I don't understand it. That's not part of my value system, personally. And you, I don't, it's not part of yours either, you know, And I think that most people are service to others, that they want to help others and do good things. So I always look at people and give them the benefit of the doubt on things. Because you're a good-hearted person, I think, Judy, and you want to do wonderful things for humanity. Right. And that's where I have problems too, understanding how people could do that to one another. I don't. I just don't.
Yeah. That's what I couldn't comprehend. And that's, you know, and in fact, I think, and Mickey does this so well. Mm-hmm. So what he did literally after a few minutes in the film, and he'd interviewed many, many wonderful science attorneys, you know, and so he was refuting every bit of criticism that the so-called fact checkers came up with. And then he brought in, and then he realized that all they were going to do is just spin it to make those people bad.
Right.
And so he made a 180 degree turn, and he went to the brilliant, amazing Dr. David Martin at University of Virginia. And I won't spoil it, because it just blew things away as far as, and it goes back to World War II. It goes back to some of even what Bobby wrote in the foreword, how we thought spraying children with DDT was a good thing. And we'll remember Rachel Carson in Silent right. Spring right. and those books. So that's why, and Bobby has that in the foreword.
Well, if you want to go back to medieval England and medieval Europe, they thought bloodletting was a good thing too. If somebody was sick, they cut your arms and let all the blood draw out, and they think that was a wonderful thing. I mean, you know,
Well, and we're actually back to bloodletting today, because it is. And in fact, this is an interesting thing on what you just said. There's some value. Is there value to taking blood? You know, we know President Trump just said that you can use convalescent serum for people who were very sick with the coronavirus, with the damage to the tissue. Well, why? Because in the convalescent serum, and we know how to purify, we can purify out those molecules. And yes, it's a bad thing to put somebody else's tissue in you, but in fact, it can have value in a crisis. You just don't do it all the time. So there's truth in everything.
Yeah.
And value in everything.
You know, if you study history, you look at what happened to Galileo back in the 15th, 16th centuries. They threatened him with death for suggesting that the Earth wasn't the center of the solar system, the universe.
Right.
And it turns out he was right, but he had to be very careful back then. So it's kind of part of human nature. People kind of own something, an idea, even though the idea may be wrong. There's, you know, but anyway, it's happened before in human history.
Oh. Absolutely. And it'll happen again unless we stop it. So that's the fun. In fact, it's interesting. I laugh when you talk about, you know, if you study history. So I, in the 120 hours I needed to graduate University of Virginia, I had 132 hours at the end of the day, and 128 of it was math and science, and only 6 credits or so. And it was German, because in order to be a scientist, a chemist in particular, you had to study German at the time. And one contemporary literature class, which was fabulous, because I read things like Henderson the Rain King. I got into John Updike and literature about that later. But the good news is, had I known history, you know, people are like, you're so brave. And you know, God just puts us like right here and doesn't let us see any more than, and I'm not quoting the Bible or anything else, like doesn't let us see so much. We peel that onion back very slowly, because if I knew as much history as my husband did, you know, I might have been out the door a long time ago, because if I had any idea what I would experience as far as the decade, and it was more than a decade, it was more like 15 years, like literally a third of my life, this horror of how we've lived, and not so much physical abuse, but that very mental abuse of realizing how evil, how, you know, and you just all night long, how can people do that? How can, you know, and I'm meeting later today with people with cancer and things like that, who've been given only a few months to live and things like that. How do you bring hope when the entire world, and in fact, with COVID-19,
right,
you know, COVID-19 is intentionally killing millions worldwide. Yeah. And I think it's very clear from Plandemic 1 and 2, from Plague of Corruption, which reads like prophecy, predicting this event. But even though the entire world, a billion people, saw Plandemic 1 and the Plandemic indoctrination last August 18th streamed live to 1.98 million people through London Real, the Freedom Platform TV that Brian Rose set up.
That's a
world's record. Yeah. Yet, so everybody's awake.
Yeah, we're getting it. Yeah.
And yet we've still got the mask on, not realizing what it means in history.
Right.
So somebody told me to go back and watch The Handmaid's Tale, the book of which I read, the dystopia. Yeah. So we're living in that dystopia. Let's just say a billion people woke up and saw this. And yet, if I walk outside, healthy people still have masks on and are angry at me because I choose not to commit assisted suicide. Right. And I breathe air, as God intended.
What did Lord Acton say in the 19th century, Judy? I'm sure you know this quote. Those who failed to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. So anyway, right. Yeah.
Well, that's our goal here, you and me, Ted, is to wake everyone up.
Right. Exactly.
And show us as rapidly as possible. I know we'll lose people because that behavior right now is like Nazi Germany. Yeah. Where people are turning people in, beating people in the streets, not wearing a mask. And you see that so clearly in Plandemic indoctrination. And that's why, everyone should sit down today and watch that film.
I think it's important to look at science as a scientist and for people to make their rational decisions about this. Because the best mask, the N95, goes down, keeps out anything out of two. They go down to 2.0 microns, which is a unit of measurement. The virus itself is only, it's a diameter of 0.12 microns. So right. You're using chicken wire to keep out a bunch of flies. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And from what I know, I'm not a doctor, but from what I've been told by other doctors, you keep that mask on and all it is a petri dish. And so you can get sick, get pleurisy. And I think there's a wider message of social and political control and to muzzle people. It's
correct.
Significant over the mouth so they can't speak. And they take away our humanness too, because you can't see it. The other thing I've heard from credible law enforcement officials is that the number of bank robberies and crimes have gone way up, as well as child kidnapping as well, because you can cover people up and you don't see their faces.
You can't see they're in terror. Yes, you can't see there's something wrong. And that's exactly right. I should mention, I apologize, I let my husband get away without grabbing the books. We just published last week was a big week, a book called The Case Against the Masks. You froze up, so I'm thinking you're gone. Facebook got us. They shut us down. The Case Against the Masks, 10 Reasons Why Mask Use Should Be Limited.
Oh, I'm just going to pop right in here.
We lost that.
Yeah, we lost Ted for a bit. Folks, just stick with us. We'll get Ted back.
Well, he's on Facebook. He's done a great job so far.
Well, I think he's gone. It's just you right now.
Okay.
So please carry on. Continue with what you were saying.
I'm going to show you the cover of The Case Against the Masks. So this is the cover. It's The Case Against the Masks, 10 Reasons Why Mask Use Should Be Limited. And it's again by my co-author, Kent Heckenlively, and myself. And it's a very simple, scientific 10 reasons. And it goes through things like human beings are made to breathe oxygen. There's a certain percent, like 21.5% oxygen in the air, 71 or so percent nitrogen, and only like 0.4% 4% carbon dioxide. That's why plants do photosynthesis, to take that carbon dioxide out of the air. And so when you wear the mask of any kind, as Ted just said, it's like a chain link fence stopping a mosquito. The viruses are going in, but you're crippling your immune system with hypoxia, meaning lack of oxygen. And we have molecules and factors, one called hypoxia inducible factor alpha. And that right away, it's very, very hairline trigger sensitive, right away says danger. There's danger. You're not getting enough air. And it turns on the flame, the immune system, inflammation. And inflammation's at the heart of all disease, all chronic disease, all infectious disease, because inflammation is, the middle of the word is flame. You turn on a flame to fight an invader. And so, and put out the fire. And as my friend, Dr. Rashid Buttar says so well, your immune system sends fire trucks to the fire. And then you spray a lot of water. Well, what happens? You get a lot of water damage. So you damage tissue because your brain and your immune system thinks the fire's too high. And a lot of other pathogens wake up from that have been dormant for years, decade, or millennia. They wake up and they're getting out of there because they need a living cell to live in. So you're actually producing more microbes, more viruses in your nasal pharyngeal, your nose, in your mouth. And you're literally going to develop a cough, hypoxia. See, so it's called hypercapnia, which is carbon dioxide in the blood. And so the if you have COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary, oh good, Ted's back. If you have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you in fact have hypercapnia, too much carbon dioxide in your blood. So every breath in is carbon dioxide at 0.4%. Every breath out is 4%. But the masks, all the masks concentrate the carbon dioxide. So at only 10% carbon dioxide out, blood levels, very quickly you can become faint, dizzy, have headaches, cut off, because that's the response. The body says we're in trouble and the flame is getting too high and nothing can silence it. So every mask, in fact, the CDC even admitted yesterday or the day before that the masks don't protect. And it's my mask doesn't protect me, your mask doesn't protect you, and both our masks increase disease because my mask is making me sick and your mask is making you sick. And yet this morning, so the CDC literally changed its regulations and said, okay, the masks don't work, okay. But California, Texas, Florida, and one other, New York, said, we're not going to go with the new CDC guidelines that says exactly what our book says, limit the mask use. The mask is driving the disease. So they said, we're not going to go with those guidelines. So the only thing, and think about those states. Oh, those are the states that are trying to keep President Trump from being reelected. Those are the states that have, you know, have literally killed people in their state, like in the nursing homes where they literally sent infected people to the most vulnerable. They're putting masks on people in nursing homes and injecting them with influenza vaccines carrying coronaviruses. And see, none of that has been denied. And this is the hard thing for me to take. It seems like damn the torpedoes, damn the science. We don't care. Full speed ahead. And this is where, you know, Mickey Willis ended the film, and I won't spoil the ending, but it was in a way that none of us expected. And at the level, I absolutely loved it. Because it's up to each one of us, hi Ted, it's up to each one of us to simply take back the responsibility and speak the truth in love. And really the first thing we all have to do is take off the mask.
Sure.
And so this is, I used to say, and I've said this a couple of times since last week, I used to say, I pray every day that I'd wake up and President Trump will have done something. Fire all those people, defund the FDA, get rid of the CDC, tell everybody to go back to their lives and their jobs and make it everything. You know, and every day I see, and when I saw that movie, what I realized is I bet every day President Trump prays America will wake up and we the people will take back the power of our own health and our own lives, and not be fearful and have faith. So my friend, my new friend, Dr. Robert O. Young taught me the other day about faith. And what fear is in his, the acronym is false evidence appearing real. So fear is false evidence appearing real, and faith is the first attribute in thinking healthy. So that's what Plandemic, the whole series, Brian Rose, London Real, all of these interviews, everything you're doing, Ted, everything Del Bigtree's doing. He did a fabulous job on High Wire last Thursday. And I'm glad you're talking to him in the next hour, because I won't have to repeat some of that, because he's just, I mean, so if all of us stay and just do our God-given job, and, you know, and in Romans, in the Bible, it's, we need the whole body. We need the arm. We need the finger, we need the eyes, and without the whole body, then we can't achieve the level of healing and health and joy as intended by God.
When Bobby Kennedy was on my show back in May, he mentioned some incredible statistic. And as a scientist, I want to ask you this. He said that when little kids wear masks, that it actually cuts the brain, the oxygen to their little developing brains, and can cause brain damage. Briefly, could you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's a serious issue.
Absolutely. I actually said that, and it's not just little children. It's the elderly as well, who are already in various states of dementia from all the toxins. Sure. So sure. I just went into that while you were gone in something, these factors. But in fact, the really scary thing about it is autistic children and children who already have, that's why I mentioned our work in myalgic encephalomyelitis. So people with these inflammatory diseases of the brain, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, chronic Lyme disease, they already have the flame on, and even a few seconds in the mask, you said pleurisy, I have pleurisy, even a few seconds in the mask can cause brain damage and death.
What about, I've seen the new guidelines for schools in Washington State, Oregon, California, I'm in California now, and they're requiring these poor little children to wear masks and have these social distancing rules. They can't play with each other. Not only will the kids get social and psychological damage, but couldn't they also suffer a whole generation of little children suffering brain damage thanks to these insane regulations that aren't based on science? They don't work. It's incredible to me. It is absolutely incredible to me.
To me as well. And what we're telling people around the world is don't go to school. Start your own schools, you know, start your mask-free zones. And this is where, this has been the hardest part of my journey the last few weeks since I showed when you froze up. This is our new book, The Case Against the Mask. And it goes into exactly that. One of the last things is about these little children. One of the last chapters, one of the top 10 reasons. It starts with, we're made by God to breathe air. And it goes on at a scientific level in a very, it takes an hour to read this book.
Sure. Okay,
it's great. Available on Amazon, my same co-author, Kent Tech and Lively. We're getting, one of my friends wrote me after Plague of Corruption, and she said, Judy, I don't mean to offend you, but your writing style has so improved. Because it's readable. And the third book, The Case Against the Mask, is 100 pages, maybe with eight, you know, every page has a reference. It's available on Amazon. Yeah. It's available everywhere. I think it costs $6. So we've been buying those books and sending them to the the schools. We have Nurse Erin in Florida, who the school superintendent. So our whole goal, like this show, is educate people, because that is horrifying, and we've got to stop it now. And that's what we were saying when you were gone.
I asked Del Bigtree about this quickly. We've got about 10 minutes left. But anyway, I asked Del Bigtree about this, Judy, and I wanted to ask you this same question. For the past 5 years, Big Pharma has been giving out free flu vaccinations across the United States. And I've been told that in those, about 60% of those vaccinations, again, this is, I've heard, I haven't been able to verify it, so I want to say that, but as a scientist, what you've heard, that 60% of those free flu vaccinations have actually contained nanobots and microchips. And part of it in those, in the vaccination itself, contained the coronavirus, plus another RNA program in there to make people obey. I don't know. It sounds crazy. It sounds like some sci-fi movie, like They Live back in the 80s, where they're all zombie, they're all a bunch of zombies.
Well, that's what we're seeing play out. And in fact, all flu vaccines that are live attenuated flu vaccines have coronaviruses in them.
I see.
Some more than others. The ones in America, chicken eggs, the one that was given to the Italians in 2019 in January, dog cells. So dogs have more coronaviruses than most any species.
So when people are given these vaccines in Italy, after a couple of years, if they start barking and not talking anymore, ruff, ruff, ruff.
No, they just got COVID. They just, many of them die because there's also mercury. So when you're talking about the most toxic element on earth, and if you get 5 flu vaccines in your life, you have 10 times the tenfold risk, not 10 times, tenfold risk of developing Alzheimer's. And what is that? A zombie. You can't communicate. You don't know who you are. So yes, there are elements in these shots. And what's important about that is, if you think about it, why are we giving an annual flu shot? If you've ever had the flu or you've ever had a shot, you're as protected from dying from the disease. These shots don't prevent infection, and they're not intended to. And that's the big lie. So that's what the most important thing we can do today is tell people everywhere, please, we won't see COVID-19 again if people don't get a flu shot. No shot, not MMR, not polio, no shot ever again. And take off the mask.
Let's get in a spaceship and fly over to Sweden, Taiwan, and Mexico all at the same time. I have relatives in Sweden. That's where I get my blue eyes from. I have friends in Mexico, and I've got friends in Taiwan. And none of those countries were shut down at all. Their economies are doing great. But most importantly, Judy, from what I've been told and my friends in these countries, the coronavirus is not a problem. It just isn't a problem. I don't know what's So people's own immune system, especially when you get out in the sunshine and fresh air, take care of yourself, that fixes the problem, not some vaccine, not some government agency telling you what to do. It's from your own immune system. I'd love your opinion on that.
That's absolutely true, and the data support that. Last night, there was a public town hall meeting, and I'll text you the link for it. I don't know if the clip's up, but last night at 5 o'clock Pacific time, I believe it went to like 6:30. It shut down. Shut down on my computer. I don't get to see much. But at any rate, that last night, there was that show, and the data, hydroxychloroquine, type 1 interferons. I have type 1 interferon right here, that natural immune modulator. And all you do is spray this like a nasal spray in your nose and throat, and you're immune. So we have so many products that can heal, and we're not using them. Sweden, Switzerland, worldwide, all the data's on that show. That's why you know this is pure evil. Why you know this is pure evil? Because everything they've done is to make us sick.
That's right. I agree with you. By the way, Albert Einstein and my friends in the Telos and Adama, the Hollow Earth, have given you a personal invitation sometime if you want to come on one of my trips, because you can, as a scientist, you can study miracle healings up on Mount Shasta. Myself, my eyesight was restored to 2010 crystal clear eyesight when I was at Shasta. Last year, from 20/50 vision, which is blurry far-eyed vision, I've had other people I've seen with my own eyes cured, healed of Lyme's disease. Another lady who was given a new pair of legs after she'd been crippled for over 20 years. So that's really healing in the fifth dimension. But sometime you're welcome to come on one of my trips and you could study that if you like.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be fun. I'm looking forward to reading your book as well.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll send it to you. We've got about 5 minutes left, Judy, and you're welcome to talk about anything you like. And I'm so happy you could come on my show today.
Well, I think we've covered pretty well all of what I wanted to talk about. Just so important that what you mentioned a minute ago, these kids are being required to do this. So we need to take back our own health, right? And we need to take it back in unison, where parents everywhere simply refuse this. The schools cannot run without the students. Nobody's right. paying the taxes. They don't get the income per capita, per head, you know. And again, we can start teaching our kids in a way such that they're not brainwashed.
Right.
So some of our schools here in California, including UCLA University, said, oh, we're online. We're Zoom meeting classes like you and I today, showing texts like I do every day. And yet we're requiring the flu shot. Well, why?
It doesn't make sense. Yeah,
because we're going to drive disease.
Yeah.
So right. the most important message that I can give is don't get a flu shot. They're yeah. not free. They're costing us our very humanity.
Yeah, that's right.
I at night I have the tendency in my little anger modes to run and take all those signs down. And I ride a little bike that is low to the ground and you can't tell I'm there. And I take all the signs down and throw them. So that's that purges me a bit.
Yeah.
So I feel better about everything.
Sure.
I just don't want if you're wearing the mask and you get a flu shot and you're 70 years old with any kind of inflammatory disease, you can be dead before morning. And
right.
I want that message out. Please don't give these kids shots and put the mask on, because that will kill them.
Wow. Every Saturday at 11:11 a.m., I do prayers for world peace and for a better world. I'd like to do one with you now, Judy.
Oh, thank you.
And ask all everyone listening today on YouTube and elsewhere around the world, and even if you're off planet listening in a spaceship to my broadcast today, I want you to please send lots of love and light to this planet, to each other, so that we can create a beautiful and harmonious and living planet. We are starting to ascend. I'm broadcasting today from Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta is now going into the fourth dimension on preparation for the fifth dimension. I feel like I'm floating around half the time, and I just have spontaneous bouts of laughter and happiness when I'm here. And the tuning fork is always nice to have, and I've disappeared. There it is. I'm going to hit this once, and I just want everyone to please send lots of love and light around the planet, because we're making the world a better place, and we are making a difference. And most people are service to others. They want to create a better planet. And I think most people are waking up and they want a planet based upon peace and joy and have a healthy environment, both for ourselves and our children and our children's children. All of my guides tell me that we are entering a fantastic new period in human evolution. And Judy, thank you so much for your beautiful work. You're helping to make a change to all that and make this world a better place, which is something I am really, really happy you're here.
Thanks.
And stay on for a moment. My next interview is a pre-recorded interview I did earlier this week with Dale Bigtree. He's a famous producer. Why don't you say a few words about Dale, if you like? You know him much better than I do, Judy.
So I know Dale is the producer of the movie Vaxxed, mm-hmm. And he came to learn of the danger of vaccines, and he used to be on these major TV shows, a producer for the shows The Doctor, so he's been pursuing truth a long time. He's a very honorable man. I believe he's the son of a pastor or minister, and he speaks with that level of passion. He just continues to seek the truth. truth. Just a lovely, lovely man who I can't thank enough. In fact, I met him after our first book, Plague, was in press, because all I was looking at is the science. And that's why my writing improved so much. It wasn't my writing. It was that I finally listened to Kent Tech and Lively. And because of meeting Del Bigtree and seeing the movie Vax, that's how we could put the pieces together and write The Plague of Corruption and understand at a much bigger level. And then and God and the universe keep bringing people like Mickey Willis to us. And I hope Del told you about Mickey, because he had a fabulous interview with him on his show, The High Wire, the Thursday after Plandemic came out. Okay. It should have been the 20th. And that was just a fabulous, fabulous interview. And we start to learn how we never really know when these God people are brought to us. There are just no coincidences, and to simply trust God and say, okay. So, and in fact, I'm delighted because, you know, my work really is done. You know, and I didn't realize that my work wouldn't be as a scientist making therapies and drugs and learning how to use them, that God has a sense of humor. I'd end up talking for a living. But in bringing this to a level that everybody could understand, sure. Everybody wins. So I love Del, and your audience will certainly be blessed by his show, as we all are.
Wonderful. Please give out your website so people can find out more about you, Judy.
Plaguebook.com.
Okay.
And PlandemicSeries.com for that movie. Because it's really not about me anymore. Plandemic Series takes it to a whole nother level.
Okay.
And LondonReal.tv, R-E-A-L, LondonReal.tv. Okay. You'll see my interviews there. You'll see Mickey. You'll see Brian Rose. Just Brian, another fabulous healing truth speaker.
Okay, great. Well, Judy, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you coming on, and keep up your beautiful work. Really appreciate it.
I will. We'll talk real soon.
Okay, Judy. All righty.
Thank you up on that visit.
All right. Thanks, my friend. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. My friends, that was Judy Mikovits, a fantastic scientist, coming to us today live from California, where she lives. My next segment of the program will be on an interview I had with Del Bigtree, a famous television producer, the producer of Vax. But before we do that, I'd like to just say, bless everyone again, to please send out lots and lots of love and compassion for the world today. I know people are having a tough time, but I know things will get better. And I'd like to play my crystal one more time here. When you hit one of these crystals, it sends out 528. It's a 528 hertz tuning fork with a marine love crystal. You hit both together and you send love everywhere. So we're coating the planet now in love, and it's a wonderful way to start your day off. Hit one of these crystals. If you'd like one, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And thank you so much, all of you, for supporting Out of This World Radio. It's a nonprofit, listener-supported show. If you'd like to support us, just go to our website at outofthisworldradio.net, and there's two little PayPal buttons there for donations. Anyway, my next interview now will be a pre-record I did with Del Bigtree, and I hope you enjoy it. If there's time, I'll try to come in at the end to wrap up today's show. And thank you again so much, everyone, for listening today.
Tani hikari.